Good evening. I want to add my welcome to you. We're thankful that you're here for our fall revival service tonight. Special welcome to some guests and visitors who are here. We're glad that you made your way here tonight and trust you'll be back throughout the week. And certainly thankful for all of our students and members of our campus community who are faithful to be here this evening as well. I want to thank Jen Heasley for leading us in prayer this evening. Jen is a spiritual life coordinator in Kresge. We're thankful for her ministry and her witness in our midst. And also need to just give you a couple of announcements. Our services do run tonight through Thursday night at 6:30. There will be pre-service prayer times in Reasoner 214, which is just here to my left outside the front doors here. And those pre-service prayer times are from 6 to 6:20. So come and avail yourself to those. We know there's many prayer meetings and prayer gatherings going on, but it'd be nice to have a good group here praying together, and Dr. Farmer will join us as well. Thankful for our ushers being here tonight. I think they're members of Spiritual Life Board and some SLAs and some other folks, and we're grateful for their assistance tonight. Thankful for our student band and our worship team as they've shared with us tonight. They'll also share our offertory, and we're very grateful that the Lord has brought Dr. Richard Allen Farmer into our midst this week to be our revival speaker. Be in prayer for him as he ministers God's word to each of us during these significant days. He'll come and minister and share with us after the evening's offering.
Now, if you're able, would you please stand as I read from the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. I begin the reading at verse 14 and read through verse 30. From the New International Version, Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you, there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. By the way, speaking of being seated, I thought I was going to see something very unusual tonight. The worship leader said, as you're coming in, please take your seats. And I thought, we're going to sing from a seated position. That'll be different. Refreshing, in fact. And then, however, you spontaneously stood up and remained standing. I bring that up because I am trying to make sure I don't get stuck in any physical posture as I worship God. I don't think the only way to worship is to stand. In fact, I have written in the back of my Bible, there are 4 physical postures for worship. People worshiped the Lord kneeling, standing, sitting, and lying prostrate. I would love to hear worship leaders say, let's all get flat on the floor and let's worship God. So in my personal worship, I try to mix it up a lot. I sometimes remain seated deliberately, then I'll stand, sometimes I'll kneel. I want to make sure I don't get stuck thinking the only way to worship is to stand. So I urge you, as I read this passage that said when Jesus sat down, it made me think of that. But I want to urge you not to get stuck, not to think there's only one way. There are many ways we may respond to God as he speaks to us and prompts us in the context of corporate worship. In fact, you might want to take down notes. Let me give you a reference for each of these four physical postures. As you are, many of you, worship leaders and worship planners, kneeling, Ephesians 3:14. There are many, but I'll give you just one for each posture. Standing, Mark 11:25. Kneeling, Ephesians 3:14. Standing, Mark 11:25. Prostrate, Matthew 26:39. That's our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. And sitting before the Lord, 2 Samuel 7:18. Four physical postures for worship and prayer. I want to continue in this series called Through the Looking Glass, Seeing Ourselves in the Gospel. And in this session, I want to look at the homecoming that didn't go so well. The text says that Jesus returned to Galilee. He didn't simply return. He returned in the power of the Spirit. Do not miss that in our text in Luke 4:14. He didn't just come home. He came home in the power of the Spirit. And without the benefit of CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox News, everybody found out he was in town. The grapevine was alive and well, and the news about him spread throughout the countryside. Luke says eventually throughout the whole countryside, it was as if everybody heard about him. And he went to where he'd been brought up, Nazareth, says verse 16, and he began to minister there. What a joy to return home, especially when you've done well. When my pastor was living, my pastor died in 2002, having pastored my home church for 41 years. I had one pastor for 41 years. It was great. And when he was living, he would have me come home at least once a year to preach. And when I would stand, he would introduce me and he'd say, "This is a son of our church. He's a graduate of Princeton Theological Seminary, and he has preached all over the world, and he has a ministry that is making a difference in the kingdom of God, and he came from us." And it was wonderful to go back home and go home as someone who is respected and not go home with my tail between my legs. Here is our boy, and he went from here and really messed up his life. Just recently out of prison, let's give it up for Richard Allen Farmer. It wasn't that. It was, here is our own, and he has done well. Let's receive him. Well, that's what one would think would happen in Nazareth. Here is one of our own. He has become an itinerant preacher, and he's making a difference. He's been healing people, and people flock from miles around to hear him, and he came from us. This is Joe's son. Used to work with his dad in the carpentry shop. I'm sure many of you remember him. Let's hear it for Jesus. It didn't go like that. He has become an able communicator, carpenter, leader. And as part of his return, he goes to the synagogue. But not everybody is excited when he speaks because he seems to be gifted at offending people. So he stands and reads from what is in our Bible in Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 2. Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me. And that would be harmless enough. He unrolls the scroll. He reads. He rolls it back up. He hands it to the attendant. That would have been part of the protocol. Sits down. Then says, by the way, what you just heard? Today, that scripture has been fulfilled. I'm the guy. Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, proclaim liberty to those who are captive. He announces that he is the fulfillment of prophetic utterance. People are amazed. And to this point, everybody speaks well of him. Then somebody says, isn't that Joe's son? And he, knowing that not all of them are being receptive, says, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, physician, heal yourself. Bring good news to yourself. He says, I want to remind you. And then he talks again, as I alluded this morning. He talks about this global implication for his message. And the fact that everybody doesn't get it. Listen to him. He says, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut up. But Elijah was not sent to any of them except to a widow in Zarephath. He said, I'm not the first person to come to his hometown. I'm not the first person to be in a town and to proclaim good news to the people of God, to Israel, and Israel doesn't get it. But you know something, he says, if Israel doesn't get it, we'll give it to the pagans. If you won't take the light, we'll let it shine on somebody else. He uses another example from the life of Elisha. He says, there were lots of lepers around the time of Elisha, but no one received the good news of the God whom Elisha was proclaiming except this non-Jew, the Syrian. That's when the people got ticked off in the temple. Verse 28 reads, and all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. Mark says that when Jesus taught, many times the people were amazed. Now they're angered. How dare you imply that we are not open? How dare you imply that we are not local? How dare you imply that we do not appreciate what you come to bring? Jesus says, listen, if you don't want it, if I'm in my hometown and being rebuked simply because I'm a local guy gone well, who has done well, then maybe this is not for you. And I'll give it to anybody else who wants it. They were so furious, they said, now you got to go. In fact, we may have to kill you. The problem of Jesus is his doing what he's called to without compromise. As I was working on this text, I thought how easy it would be to alter our ministries in order to make no waves. It would be easy to alter our ministries based on the response of the crowd. It is tempting to tone it down or rev it up depending upon the reception we get. Not Jesus. He does what he's supposed to do. He reads what he's to read. He says, this is about me, and I don't really care if you like it or not. You have to know what God has called you to, and you have to do that. Even if the people before whom you do that are not receptive. I pastored an African American church in Pittsburgh for 8 years. During the Lenten season 1 year, I called a fellow pastor from another side of town, and I said to him, it was a few months before the Lenten season began, I said, I'd like you to come and preach for our Lenten series. We have the wonderful Wednesdays of Lent. I'd like you to come one of our Wednesdays and preach. And he said, Farmer, I heard it's kind of quiet over there at the church you pastor. I said, well, yes, the folks are good listeners. It was not a typical or stereotypical African-American church in that there was not a lot of talking back to me. There was not a lot of, go ahead, preach it, pastor. Not a lot of that, some, but not a lot of that. As one might experience in many other churches. And he said, I heard it's kind of quiet over there. And I said, well, they are great listeners. Whereupon this pastor said to me, well, I can't preach unless somebody's talking back to me. And I said, then you can't preach. Because the effectiveness of our message is not based upon whether or not they talk to me. I know what I'm saying is true, whether you say amen or not. The veracity of my message is not based upon your response. And I'm not trying to get your amens. Well, that's Jesus here. He doesn't tone it down or rev it up. He simply says what he's supposed to say. And they don't like what he said. Some of us would be tempted to say, okay, I'm sorry. That was a little arrogant of me to suggest that the Spirit of the Lord is on me and I'm going to do that. Okay, that was a little too rough for you guys. Okay, what I meant was I'm being used by God and I'm effective many times. Is that better? Is that okay? You know, don't hate, okay? No, he says what he's going to say and they want to kill him. But it's not time. In fact, Luke says that, and Luke doesn't tell us exactly how this happened. He doesn't tell us physically or logistically how exactly this happened, but they were going to take him and throw him down a cliff. And Luke says, but he walked right through the crowd. Now I'm from the Bronx. I can picture this. And they say, we're going to kill him. And he just, oh, really? And he just walks through the crowd. And nobody touches him. Nobody goes for him. He has been anointed and appointed by God. He knows what he's supposed to do. And in the confidence of his calling, he makes his pronouncements and announcements. And we must do the same. I want to be like Jesus in my ministry. I want to say what I'm supposed to say. I want to read what I'm supposed to read. I want to declare what I'm supposed to declare. And I don't want to care whether you like it or not. I don't want to alter it based upon your response. I want to do that to which I've been called. I want to say that which I've been given. And then in God's own timing, I want to finish. For the termination of his earthly days will be on God's terms and on Christ's terms. Not on the terms of the crowd. It is impossible for him to die before his time. So he walks right through the crowd and continues on in his ministry. Now you, what is it that God has called you to? What are those words that God has dropped in your spirit? Say those words. What is the ministry to which he is called? Do that ministry. Even in your hometown. Go back home. Oh, who does he think he is? He's been to a couple of years of Christian college. Oh, now he's going to come back here speaking like he's got some authority. Yeah. Yes. Well, she just acts like somebody died and left her in charge. Well, actually, somebody did. Thank you. His name is Jesus, may I share? He walks with authority, declaring, I know who I am, and I know whose I am, and it is enough. They speak well of him, they're amazed by his gracious words, verse 22, he doesn't change anything. They are furious and they want to kill him. Verse 28, he doesn't change anything. May it be said of us all. May we be like him. And may you see yourself in the gospel, anointed, appointed, assigned to a work, and may you do that work wherever you go. I started preaching when I was 17 years old. Preached my first sermon as a senior in high school. I had an uncle who was a deacon in a Baptist church in Harlem. He came to hear me preach once, and he paid me a wonderful compliment. I thought about it many times. He's now with the Lord. He said to me after one of my times, I was still a very young preacher, and he said to me, he said, Richard, you preach like an old man. I said, what do you mean, Uncle Leo? And he said, well, you preach like you know what you're talking about. I was 17. I thought about that, and I thought, that really is the way it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to apologize. Paul said to Timothy, don't let anybody look down on you just because you're young. No. We speak with authority because he has called us, because he has anointed us, because he has appointed us. So you, may you preach with the seasoning, may you teach with the seasoning of an old woman or old man. May people not look down on you as you go back home and you begin to say some things and articulate that which is happening to you while you're in Wilmore. May you go back home at Thanksgiving and Christmas, and may people begin to hear something different out of you. And may you not alter it simply because you're young. Go right back to your home church and say, something is happening in me and to me. I've come back home to declare that God is in his heaven and he's up to something and I'm part of it. Don't back down. And to God's own glorious name be all praise and honor. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Would you please stand? I want to pray for you. There are many of you who are involved in ministries which require you to make statements. You are speaking, you are teaching, you are leading, many of you. I want to pray especially tonight that you would never be afraid, you'd never be ashamed, that you stand up, open the scroll, and read and declare what God said, whether people say amen or not. I'm going to pray that God put steel in your spines and cause you to stand as if you are somebody because you are. I'm going to pray for the fearful among us, who have been called to great things, but you are afraid to rise to it. This great God, of whom we read, is our God. The one who called Jesus calls us, and it is enough for us. I want to lead you in prayer. I want you to spend just a few seconds of private prayer, and then I will pray for you. And when you hear the phrase, and now, my brothers and sisters, at that moment, would you please open your eyes and receive the benediction with eyes open? Let's pray. We thank you, Papa God, for Jesus, wonderful model. We are encouraged by his ways. We thank you for his journey to Nazareth, his consistency in ministry, and I pray for these women and men as they minister. Pray that they would stand against the evil one who would love to shut them down and make them fearful, make them refuse to talk, make them back down. We stand against him in the greater authority of Jesus. Stand against the evil one who would love to make them mealy-mouthed, compromising, afraid. Pray, God, that you would make them strong where they are weak. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I'm rich. Grant that we may go forth in the power of the Spirit and do ministry on your terms, not the opposition's terms. I pray for those who have begun to do ministry and for those who are getting prepared to do public ministry. Oh God, make us bold in our speaking. Anoint us to speak in the Spirit powerful things. Grant to us a commitment to your unchanging word. Anoint us, we pray, for significant proclamations in your name. May our declarations be full of power. Oh God, help us. We give ourselves to you afresh, anew. Take us, use us. Mold us, make us, break us, so that we may be all yours, channels which you will use, conduits for your glory's sake. Now, my brothers and sisters, you return to Nazareth, to your places of responsibility and influence, and may the Lord use you and choose you and cause you to do mighty and significant things in his name. Go in peace. May he anoint your tongues for proclamation, your feet for walking, your hands for doing, your eyes for seeing, your ears for hearing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And when people look on you, may they say, she, he is frighteningly like Jesus. Amen and good night.